are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. Double Dosage After Show. After Show. After Show.
After Show. After Show.
Yes, that's right. This is the Double Dosage After Show. I have my co-host here with me, I do believe. Let me look at the call here. Where are you guys at?
Oh, I'm here, dude.
Okay, we have
I'm here, Melvin Punch. I'm with you, man. I'm with you, man.
We have our good friends here, Melvin Punch, who is marketing director and a feature host of my show, Family Case Files. And we also have Bill the Butcher from the Butcher Shop.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'm here.
Absolutely. So you guys heard the wonderful show there. I really want to possibly also get a call or two in. If you want to call in, please be respectful. Watch your language. Yes. We're not going to be disrespecting our honored guests here. No. Please. Oh, boy. We already got a caller.
We got one already, V, man. Thank you, man. Thank you. We got one already. Get it.
Okay. Line one, Texas. Go ahead.
Hey. Go ahead. Hey, fellas. Hey. Yeah, it's Andy.
Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, I like that the guest that you had. He's talking about exorcism and whatnot. So I was just curious, what exactly is the exorcism of when he does an exorcism? And if it's a belated soul that couldn't leave this planet or whatnot, why is that? Why is there souls that can't leave the planet that happen to just mess with other people?
God bless you for the call, Andy. This is Reverend Sean. The rite of exorcism is something that we perform, God forbid, as a last resort, because if you don't know what you're doing, things can turn very ugly, and you're already in a very, very ugly situation. And these are not quick fixes. We don't just pop in, wave a magic wand, and whatever a person is experiencing, we bring closure to that and make it all better. It's a much longer process than that. What exorcism is doing is we have found a very malevolent entity, and I'm going to call it a demon because that's my training, and a demon to us, we're trained that they're fallen angels. Somehow, some way, and sometimes we never find the answer to that, but somehow, some way, this person has given these things permission to attach and invade their vessel. And if we're not there in time to give the type of help we need to give, usually full possession occurs if it's truly a demonic case. Very seldom do I find, unless it's a trans medium who gives permission to her spirit guides to talk through her and give messages, very seldom do I find a human spirit. It's still lingering around here. Hijack a vessel and possess a body. I have yet to see it. But our belief system is that a lot of these human spirits, and a lot of people in my field don't believe this, so I get beat over the head by colleagues all the time over this. A lot of them don't believe in spirits. They believe it's either demonic or it's not.
Well, so, that was going to be my question, really, because that's a heretical sort of thing, because and Christian text, when you die, you go into the ground, so you are called up for judgment. There's no if, ands, or buts about it, right?
Absolutely. Some people firmly believe that. I'm of the camp that believes you can stay here. If you're not at rest and you're not at peace, there can be a number of reasons why you don't choose to cross over to the light when your time has come. And then people tend to linger around a little bit. Maybe it's aunt, Betty or Uncle Tom, and they're just had too much of a love for life and a love for the remaining family and a love for the home that they built that they lived in all their life, and they're not ready to cross over. They're not scared of judgment. They weren't a bad person. They just want to hang around. Then you do have some people that are a little bit more of a malevolent mindset when they were on this planet. They weren't very, when they were alive, they weren't very nice people. And sometimes when they pass, they are afraid of judgment, and they will stay over here. And the longer those spirits tend to linger around, they tend to become more and more malevolent as time goes on. So you have to try and get them to cross over as soon as you can if you confront them on a case. Because the longer they hang around and the more malevolent they get, they seem to be like a lighthouse, a beacon to attract the even darker, more lower vibrational demonic type entities that come into the situation, and then it just starts to snowball and you can have a very, very ugly situation.
Question. So at this particular point, when these entities decide to stay here, are you suggesting that after someone dies, or maybe it's a particular way they die or whatever, that they have an opportunity? We actually have some control after our death. Is that what you're saying? Because these people have decided they don't want to leave. They want to stay here. They want to be a demon. They want to do whatever. Is there some sort of anything that embarks them on that journey?
Well, they can't become a demon. They can be under the control of a demon, and they can do a lot of nasty.
How do they get control of staying here to do what they do to these people? This is really out there in the world of unknown. So I'm sorry. I'm asking questions that are probably have no answers.
That's okay, brother. I love all the questions. It's totally okay. I wish I had all the answers for you. I do know that some human spirits, I believe when we die, we will all have a choice to either go to the light or hang around for a little bit. My advice, I know me, I'm going to go to the light. Some people, for a variety of reasons, I believe, choose not to. And there's a lot of reasons why. But sometimes these real malevolent, low vibrational entities tend to hang around and continue doing their bad deeds on the other side after they've passed, and they won't cross over. But they're not demons. A demon is a fallen angel, and it's a completely different animal that we're speaking of.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of testimonies. There's a lot of testimonies of people that have died and came back. Okay, and I'm not going to go into a ton of them, but let me just say this to you. There's a woman. She was going to a track meet. Boom. She hit a car and ran into a tree. She was put into emergency, blah, blah, blah. She came out of her body. This is just one of like 19,000 that I've listened to because I'm so curious about death in the spiritual world. But this particular woman, I mean, she actually said, I'm done looking at myself on the operating table. And she left and she went and she saw her stepfather, who was a vegan. So he wouldn't eat a candy bar or whatnot, but she actually saw him buy a candy bar. Blah, blah, blah. That comes in later. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And then she went outside the hospital and she saw dark people and light people. But she says she never saw, this is the most intriguing story, and I'm really blowing it terribly because it was much more in depth, but she saw dark people alongside of a river, and there happened to be a river where she was at next to the hospital. And she ended up in her grandpa's truck, and she was driving with him and stuff. And when she had to leave, this entity of some sort said to her, you got to be a teacher. And she said, no, I want to be a track coach. And he, no, you got to be a teacher. And so she spent her, and this is a humble woman. This woman is one of those, bumbly. I mean, she's not an actor. She's got, anyway, having said that, there's far more than what we're dealing with on this planet right now. And it's just amazing to me that some people would want to stay here. And it has to be the people that didn't understand when they were alive, so they don't understand when they're dead.
Absolutely. Well said, sir.
Well, Andy, you know, if you're going to be such a regular caller, I got to make you a regular guest co-host or something. Thank you for the call. All right, brother. Thank you for the questions. I appreciate it very much.
Can I butt in for a minute?
Go right ahead. Go ahead.
I agree with our guests, and I think I have an explanation for this. If I were dead and given the choice to go to the light or whatever, I would probably want to hang around and make sure my grandchildren were okay and they got grown and they had good lives. And then I would go to the light. But I would want to make sure that they're okay. And I think what binds us with this is love, the love for family, the love for who you were. And you say, well, I want to sit around and help them.
Absolutely. I totally buy into that. And love is a very powerful thing. Now, that's, you know, if you are the person that is headed for the right place when you cross over, it's all love and light. So sometimes I believe the love can be so strong that your attachment to family could be a big reason. But, you know, I've had some people, near-death experience survivors, tell me that there's a window of opportunity there, that the window to go to the light isn't that long. It's not eternity. So you have to make the choice sooner than later, and that's why some human spirits end up stuck here. They didn't intend to be, but they stayed a little bit longer than they should have, and they end up finding themselves stuck. So
I would like to interject something. Something you said in the first hour struck me very profoundly, and I'd like to interject a story. When I was 3.5 years old, I had polio and encephalitis at the same time, just like what you were describing, okay? And you, better than anybody else, understands the gravity of that, okay? I was in Shumpert Sanitarium Hospital in Shreveport, Louisiana, and my mother went to chapel. It was Shumpert was a Divine Mercy chapel or hospital. And she went to pray with the nuns, and they had me. I was in a ward with a bunch of other children who were all dying. And at that time, I had a nurse come in, and all the nurses were nuns. All the nurses were nuns. And she came in with a basin of water to take care of me. And she washed my face and washed me and everything. And she told me, tomorrow you're going to be well. Now, I had encephalitis and polio at the same time, okay?
Yeah.
And she bathed my face and everything, and she told me, if you need me again, just call my name. And she whispered in my ear, my name is Margot. And I was 3.5 years old. And I stopped believing in her, but she never stopped believing in me. The next day after that, I was pushing my cousin Leroy in a wheelchair up and down the halls, okay? Up and down the halls, and he wasn't crippled or anything, just in the wheelchair just for the heck of it and everything. While the doctors were saying, misdiagnosis, we missed something, blah, 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 blah. I still have the effects of that disease. I'm blind in my right eye, and I'm deaf in my left ear from the effects of the encephalitis and the polio. It's still there, okay? And years later, when I became a Catholic, we met with a group of nuns from Poland who came to us with a relic, and this is going to, you know, irk a lot of people out there. We Catholics have relics. And the relic here was a finger bone from Sister Faustina, who was the saint of the Divine Mercy devotion. And we were talking, and for some reason I told this story, and when I said the name Margot, they started crossing themselves and looking at me, and I'm like, what, you know? Margot was the nickname that Sister Faustina Kowalska's mother gave her. Sister Faustina, her nickname was Margot. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And she died in 1939. Okay? And so, yes, sir, I believe your story. That's what struck me when you first came on the V show and you said that. We don't talk on that first hour. We let the first hour go. I was so bad to share the story with you about that because Margot has been my patron saint forever. Now I'm a Mormon. Yeah. I'm a Mormon, but I've never lost my friend Margot. Margot advises me to this day. I had an invisible friend I told my mother about, and they took me to a psychiatrist. And he said, well, all children have invisible friends. My invisible friend is Margot. She never led me wrong. Thank you, sir, for your testimony. That's so much. I enjoyed you so much.
God bless you, brother. You hang in there, okay? That was a beautiful story.
Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to chime in, Reverend Sean, about what you were saying about some spirits hanging around because of the love of family, and you know they want to make sure that the family members are okay. Mm-hmm. I had a younger brother of mine who was he was murdered in a robbery some years ago, and you know, he died suddenly. He died at the scene, and his son went to a medium who he didn't, you know, his son didn't reveal any information about what had happened or anything like that about his father. And the medium went into her thing and started to reveal certain information about what had happened. She told him that he was there for, you know, one of his relatives who had died violently, and that the person was there with him at the reading right there. And she also told him that his father was hanging around because he was, you know, perplexed as to, you know, why he was murdered. He didn't know, you know, who had murdered him, and you know, all sorts of information that she could possibly had any knowledge of. And she just went right down the line and gave him all the information about what had happened and that he had a head injury. And it was just really just blew him away. And, you know, it was very heart-rending for me to lose my brother like that. And, you know, I missed him terribly. Me and him were very, very close. And one evening while I was at home and I was alone and, you know, I was feeling, you know, quite depressed, I started seeing some lights that, I mean, it seems like there was hundreds of sparkly kind of like lights. And I was trying to like, because the lights were kind of dimmed down, I was trying to discern what was like in front of me. And then I seen an outline of a person's body. And then when I looked clearly and tried to focus on what I was actually seeing, I could see my brother, like he was kind of like translucent, but I could see him standing right at the foot of my bed. And I wasn't intoxicated. I wasn't like half asleep or anything like that, but I actually seen him. And when I spoke to him, I said, I can see you. And he's kind of nodded his head with, you know, he was nodding with a smile on his face. And, you know, I have to tell you, if anyone would have tried to, you know, come back or cross over or make himself known that he was still there, it would have been him. And, you know, that's a factual story. And you know, it just kind of just convinced me that those sorts of things can happen. You know, I have a residential rooming house that I run. And the building itself was a former Jewish synagogue. It's an older building. And after that, it became a library. So I converted it into a rooming house. But the owner that had it prior to me, he was a violent individual who he molested his young daughters, and he had died in the house of a heart attack. Now I got this information from his son, who I happened to work with at Postal Service. So when I had a tenant in there, a young lady who she was kind of like not mentally all there, she would wake up screaming at 3:00 a.m. every single morning and screaming, "Get off of me! Get off of me!" And she'd go to the door screaming out at the top of her lungs that she was being raped. And, you know, we thought she was crazy. And till I actually, you know, after she had gone, I spent some time in that room. And some occurrences that were going on in that room shook me to my core. I mean, I heard knocking on the door. I got up and opened the door. There was no one standing there. There was absolutely no way that someone could have left, and I couldn't hear them running up the stairs or going out the front door. I sat back down, and then, you know, there was knocking on the other side of the room, and then I stood up, and there was a panel. We had like a china cabinet with mirrors in it. As I stood up and looked out the corner of my eye, I seen a figure move in front of each pane of mirrors, like from one frame to the next, like someone had walked in front of it, but there was no one there.
Wow.
Then it was just all sorts of these weird occurrences. I sat back down on a sofa, and I could actually feel the sofa rising up under, you know, beneath me, like right where my butt was at. I jumped up and ran out of that house, and I never spent another night in that room. It was just the weirdest occurrence that had ever happened to me in my entire life. It just shook me to my core. So
well,
those things happen.
I wanted to say how sorry I am to hear about what happened with your brother. That's such a traumatic end to a person's path, you know. But what a beautiful story, how he appeared to you. That's just phenomenal. And I believe, I don't, like I said, I don't know all the answers, but I do believe that they can continue to come back in visitation even after they cross over. So I do believe you may see your brother again, or at the very least, he's still watching over you and other family members a lot. I mean, that's how I feel.
I believe
and
it.
I also believe some spirits, some people have done such horrendous things when they were alive that at first when they pass, they're not given the option to cross over. Call it purgatory, call it there's some things that they have to make amends for, there's some lessons they have to learn, I don't know. But I do believe some of these people don't see the light, and then they're forced to hang around a little bit to try and make right as best they can on the other side of the veil the wrong that they did when they were over here. Do some of them accomplish that? I believe so. Do some not? I believe some don't either. And then they hang around a long time, and they get more and more angry, more malevolent, and then they become really mischievous, not good spirits to be around, for the living, that is.
I agree. I certainly agree.
Okay, well, can I play devil's advocate for a moment?
Please do.
Well, something that I have been taught, something I researched, and something that I believe is that, you know, Lucifer is the light. Lucifer is the light. It's actually the darkness that is God. I mean, there are so many words for God. One of them is Ein Sof, which means... it's a Hebrew word for God, and it literally means without light. And so there is this concept of Lucifer, and with my knowledge of illusions, mind control, government operations, you know, flashing retinas and that sort of thing. There's a lot of light illusion sort of things, and I'm told that Lucifer is the light. So whenever you die, you see the light walk away from it.
Now that, there you go. That's the poltergeist. That's what you were thinking of. Remember, she kept telling her, one second she told her, tell your daughter to go to the light. The next second she was saying, tell your daughter to run from the light. That part in the movie confused me.
Okay, well, yeah, so there is this, duality in that, because, you know, the Christian beliefs, so God's light, but yet we have Lucifer, that was the light bearer. So, you know, it's very
confusing to me in a sense that, you know, you have that duality. So, you know, everyone views the darkness as evil and all that stuff. But out of darkness came everything else. You know, when you have a creative thought, guess what? It came from nowhere. You know, intelligence is accredited to Lucifer, the spark. Okay, but where'd that spark come from? Out of nothingness. So, how do you feel about that?
I think it's the particular path and the particular experiences each individual has. I totally appreciate where you're coming from. I have not experienced anything that appeared to be of love and light that turned out to be bad. And every time that I have encountered, like even when I was severely attacked myself and truly feel I was drugged to hell, that apparition was like a dark spinning solid black tornado in a doorway at the end of a dark hallway that had no power going to, and it was pitch black, but this blackness was even darker than that, and it bum rushed me and attacked me. And I, like, there's pictures in my book that a lot of people who are very sensitive have reached out to me and said, you probably shouldn't have put those in your book because they have bad mojo attached to them. I don't know how much of that is true. Every book that leaves my home here that I autograph, I bless. I don't know about the ones you get on Amazon, but there's a couple of pictures in there of some very dark entities that I captured on film that were haunting locations that I was investigating, and these things were up to no good. I haven't, to my experience, like my discernment, if it can be high noon here in Las Vegas, 120 degrees in the shade, no wind, you're like in an oven, and I can drive in a neighborhood and I can go to a home that called me for help, and if I know there's truly demonic there, I can already tell before I even get to the home, because it'll be the only home that appears to me that, like, I'm looking at it through sunglasses. It just has that dark veil around it. I've also been trained that my biggest weapon is love and humility. So many times clients will open the door and they're a little shocked at first, because if I truly sense the presence of the demonic, when they open the front door, I'm already on my knees in front of them praying, and I cross the threshold on my hands and knees to try and show as much humility as I possibly can. And sometimes, even at that moment, it's too much for what's there to handle, and you can hear the squealing like a herd of pigs, just squealing and just running out of the home, and you can just feel this veil of darkness lift up off of everybody, and you can just take a deep breath, and everybody just, the color comes back to their faces, the smiles come back to their faces. I usually follow up by sitting everybody, the whole family, on the couch. And one by one, I'll wash everybody's feet in holy water, because that's another thing Jesus did with his disciples, and another form of complete humility. And then I get into exercising the home and cleansing it and blessing it and sealing it up before I leave. But that's just one humble man's opinion on what I've experienced, that I haven't ran into any too many things of love and light that turned out to deceive me. Do I think I might have been deceived? I think so. There's been time, yeah.
Okay, we are going to take station ID, and we'll come back for the second half of this show. Guys, please stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
D Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show, Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
All right, let's just go ahead and get back into the show here. Oh, we don't have so much time. And, you know, the first hour went by so fast. I just can't believe that we only used to do our show. I'm used to doing 2-hour shows. I'm used to doing that sort of stuff. But it's just, you know, with these commercial breaks and things like that, it just doesn't seem like it's enough time. There's so much more stuff I would love to talk about here. But I really have to say I'm really glad to have our guest, Reverend Sean, is it Whiting or Whittington?
Whittington. Whittington. Yes. There you go.
Not, I keep wanting to say Whittington, but it's Whittington.
That's okay. Okay.
All right.
Yes, Reverend Sean, I wanted to get your thoughts on something that that I actually saw. I'm a big fan of ex-military man, so I watch a lot of war movies and documentaries, and I bought a collection of the battles of the Pacific War in World War II. And so I'm watching it on a DVD player, all the battle scenes, Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal and everything like that. And I found that by pressing the DVD player and pressing it on pause, and then hitting the fast forward button, that the the action on the film would go in slow motion. I never knew that was a feature that was for the player. But so I was watching the battle scenes in slow motion because, you know, if you're watching them at regular speed, you miss a lot of the scenes in the background and things like that. So one particular battle scene that I was watching, they had some of the footage from the actual Japanese cameraman also, and they interspliced that into the footage. So it was a scene of Japanese officers. They were surveying a table inside like a huge warehouse, and they were surveying a table with a map on it. I guess they were, trying to determine the American positions, and they were, making a battle plan in preparation of a huge battle. And as the camera was slowly panning around the room, in the corner, I seen a small, it was a figure of it looked like a man, a boy, but it was about 3 feet or 3 or 4 feet tall with a huge head and a discolored body. It wasn't a Japanese soldier, and there was no Americans in the room. It was all Japanese. And this little looked like a demon was dancing with joy. He was like dancing around and prancing and so happy. And it seemed to me that he was happy about the carnage that was about to occur from this upcoming battle. And when I seen it, I couldn't believe my eyes because it looked so strange. I've never seen anything look like that before. It looked like some sort of creature, but it was humanoid. And I, brought my girlfriend over and I said, "Do you see that? Do you see what I'm seeing?" And she saw it too. And from that moment on, it seemed like everything cascaded into turmoil for me. Everything went to hell. I mean, it was, bad luck after bad luck, and unfortunate things started happening. And because I was determined to like reveal this creature to the world, I was going to, screenshot it and record it and put it out there and show everyone that, what I had seen. But, after that, I could never find that tape again. I've been searching through all of my tapes and I could never find it again. And what are your thoughts on something like that? If you see something that you're not supposed to see, can that bring like bad luck and harm to you?
I'll tell you one thing. You felt it that it did.
Yes.
I believe sometimes the power of the mind can bring on a lot of things too. Do I believe you saw what you saw? Absolutely. Do I know what it was? No. Do I think it could have, like I said, I've had, sometimes I'll post a picture on one of the many paranormal groups on Facebook I belong to. I'll review some evidence and think something that I found is interesting. I'll post it on there. And there might be some really sensitive psychic mediums on there that can't handle seeing that stuff and will get on me a little bit about that. That comes to mind when you tell me that story, but I was about to ask you before you even finished, what did you do when you felt that all of this was happening to you in your life? Did you feel that there was something you needed to do to change it around, or did you just let it ride its course?
I believe in God very strongly, and I just began to, to pray regularly and, just the hope that this evil presence that I felt had enveloped me would just, just go away, that God would protect me from the evil. And I just didn't ignore it. I acknowledged that evil did exist, but I didn't let it become a major factor in my life. I just knew that I just had to work harder and, just pray stronger and just stay firm in my belief that, goodness will prevail. I just didn't let it, phase me. I know there's going to be good and bad in everything that you do. So I just kept moving forward. And to this day, it still seems like that dark cloud is kind of like hanging over me, but I don't let it stop me from doing what I have to do. I just keep moving forward.
And see, these are two things here. Two things that I want to bring up that Melvin has actually prefaced for us. And what you said, Reverend Sean, I was going to do another
the devil's advocate thing here and talk about psychic imprints and psychic manifestations, because I know the mind does what the mind needs it to do sometimes, and you know, when we need that moment of encouragement, the mind may come up with you know, you talking to a dead relative or maybe an angel, well, depending on the belief system of the person. And that could be something that is booted up like a program. And, you know, going with the physical evidence that Melvin's talking about, when you see the little demon and these entities are caught on film or, you know, digital recordings or whatever, and again, I will reference the light. When you catch something, it has a physical presence, and when you talk about physical presence, you're talking about the light. I know Native Americans, a lot of, don't like to take pictures because they say, you know, some of their soul is taken away when you take a picture. So when you have that light reflecting off the picture, off the object into a picture, you have essentially caught a piece of that essence of that creature onto the recording, and therefore taking a piece of that demon or whatever it was with the recording, right?
Absolutely. I've had taken pictures of stuff that there was nothing in there, and then weeks later, I go back to look at the same picture. Now there's something there. I'm also a glasses half full kind of guy. Melvin, maybe something good was attached to that film disappearing. Maybe it was brought bad mojo on you in your life, and something that watches over you got rid of that film. I'm that kind of guy. I always try to look at the silver lining, you know, but I tell a lot of people, a lot of people come to me with stories like that all the time. And sometimes when I don't know what to tell them, this is my bailout move. I always tell them to go find a really good non-denominational Christian-based church and get baptized again. I do it all the time. I've probably been baptized 40 times. There's something exhilarating about getting completely submerged in the holy waters by another brother or sister, you know, of like-minded people, spiritual people, dunking you and baptizing you. I tell people all the time, and then if they're having some issues in the home, you have to, praying is great, but you also have to bless and cleanse your home and continue to do that also.
Okay. So once you bless you know, cleanse the home of these evil essences, do they have an opportunity to return, or does that put it like a protection around, you know, the home and the individuals that are residing there once the house is blessed?
I'm a big believer. Yeah, I'm a big believer that they are never too far away, that once you've been touched, that they linger around and watch, and they wait for you to let your guard down, let another portal in for them to sneak on in. And if you allow that to happen, if you don't watch your P's and Q's, and they come back way worse. It's usually a lot uglier of a situation. So once you've, you know, gotten the spiritual help you need, and believe me, if you have something like that in your home and you were able to get it out of there, you had help from beyond that you may not even see or know that you had, but you got some spiritual help. And now you need to continue on constantly blessing and cleansing the home and praying. And like, I have exorcists around the world right now they know that there's a lot of people out there that don't really have a religious belief system in place. And I was just talking to V brought up indigenous people a second ago with the film thing. I have some indigenous friends that agree to this because they can alter this and make it anything they want. I mean, you know, if you believe in true evil, then you have to believe in the opposite, that there's a much higher vibrational power of love and light that's watching over all of us. And whatever name you want to put on that, call it whatever you want to call it. But right now, especially with what we're going through, We need to pray to that. And the exorcists worldwide are asking everybody just to say one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and one prayer to St. Michael, short version in English, every night before they go to bed. And you can pretend that the Our Father, you're praying to the Great Father. You can pretend that the Hail Mary, you're praying to the Great Mother. And that's what my indigenous friends believe in. And you can, everybody loves St. Michael. And whether you believe in St. Michael or not, just the mere thought of an archangel that was assigned with his warriors to kick Satan and his legion out of heaven, that's a pretty powerful thing to believe in, whether it's real or not. You know, it's all a matter of mindset and us, you know, as a human race collectively trying to raise the vibration and push this darkness and this cancer back and save humanity. Because basically that's what's at risk right now, is our very existence.
Well, and I'm glad you said that. That was going to be my next subject. Everything just falls into place. I love it. And something that I believe, and being the student of quantum physics that I am, there is, you know, if there's the slit test, the particle beam, basically, just to summarize this, it's observation and belief. Whenever the scientists would shoot a photon at something, it would land in a random place. But upon observation, it would land only in one of two spots. And it's our psychic manifestations that control our environment. Whether something ends up in one place or another. So, you know, that tape disappearing, hey, that could have been some just manifestation, psychic manifestation, something. It probably found that it needed to be someplace else and just disappeared to another place because that's where it needed to be. And not in your life, Melvin. I'm hopefully saying that to bring some sort of scientific view on this, because I always try to wrap science around things. But also, I find that inspiration, and it doesn't matter what it is, if you find that something brings you inspiration, you believe in it, it should help you.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. The mind is a powerful thing. And they say that a lot of people that, you know, they see things moving in their home, or, you know, they think, like with the shutters opening and closing, like you were saying, with the drawers and the windows, a lot of people are of the thought that people are controlling these things through their own psychic manifestations. They're using their own mental abilities that they don't know that they have, and they're controlling objects around them. So a lot of times when people think that it may be a ghost or maybe something paranormal that may be actually moving an object or opening an object, they're actually doing it with their own psychic powers.
Absolutely.
That's one thing of thoughts.
They refer to that as the poltergeist, actually. That's absolutely, you're spot on there.
Okay.
So if another creature, I wouldn't say creature, another entity, or something that becomes an entity, I would like to think that, well, okay, I'll bring it over to science. When you have a brother or sister or a mother or something like that, you have a quantum vibration that is very similar. It's expressed through your genes, your very genes. This is how a mother knows when her child got into a car wreck, even though the child is on the other side of the world. Like, oh my gosh, something horrible. I have a bad feeling. I need to call my son. And you find out, oh, okay. Yeah, he's been through some stuff. And so we have that link to each other. And so I think it might be a fascinating concept that imprint, that psychic imprint and tethering can go beyond death.
Yes. Yeah, well, you're some of the things you've said tonight have really made me stop and think. And And, you know, it's just, oh my gosh, it makes you want to, sometimes it makes you, just for a second, will stops you in your tracks and makes you almost wonder, you know, how should I proceed from here? You know, what could I be so off base on everything that I'm doing more harm than good? I do believe sometimes I do go into places and I do more harm than good. I think if I'm truly in the presence of the demonic, my actual presence is provocation enough, so I don't believe in religious provocation. It's like poking the bear. There's no need to. That bear's already really pissed off, ready to rip your face off. So I don't engage in that. I also don't engage in dialogue with demonic entities, but I agree with you 100%. It's like there's just so much unknown out there. I think what works for me is just to take a step back, take a deep breath, and just rely on my faith and what works for me. And you mentioned that too, the whatever you find individually for you that's inspirational, that lifts you up, that gives you strength physically and psychologically, that's the good thing that you need to hold on to and tap into when you need it.
Absolutely. And I would love for there to be more scientific study with these things. I know they're I don't want to totally bring this to a level that you may be uncomfortable with, but I know the so-called Illuminati, you know, these people deal in witchcraft and all this sort of stuff. And you know, we all know, for example, the Nazis, they went all into their, you know, occult lore and all stuff and tried combining technology with the, you know, occult spiritual things. And you know, with that said, I'm really wishing that there would be some open government resources and real efforts and study into these phenomena, and have, you know, instruments, not just ghost hunters with tape recorders and EVP machines, you know, real scientific spectrum analysis and these sort of things like that, and see if we can get more of an understanding on a level that, you know, people can get with, because people are going to disagree with religion across the board. Always have, always will. So I think I really wish we could get some sort of common ground with this.
Yeah, I do too, brother. I unfortunately, it's probably not going to happen in our lifetime. And you know, you were talking about the Nazis there and a few other things. Do you watch much TV?
No.
Well, I started watching, I don't know how I stumbled on it, late last night. I mean, I just happened to be up super late, taking a break, and it came on, oh my gosh, what channel was it? I believe it was Showtime. And it was a new series that just started called Penny Dreadful, City of Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really super interesting. I usually don't, something usually doesn't put the hook in me that quick, but episode one did, and only episode one was the first to premiere last night. I think you would like that show. I just have a hunch. If you decide you want to watch something, and then maybe the next time I have you on my show, you can say, you know, Rev, I took your advice, but I thought that series was terrible. But you can throw it back at me. But it's called Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, and I believe it's Showtime. And it looks like something right up your alley that you might supernatural thriller, but it's got, you know, 1938, pre-World War II L.A., some Nazis are there, and it's got a lot of government stuff, a lot mixed in with the racial tension between the Hispanics and the L.A. police, and the whole war pending, and the supernatural, you know, the devils among us, and the angels that are fighting that. You might really like that series. I think I am going to like it.
Well, and they once again, perfectly, over to the next point. I know we only have a couple minutes left in the show, but I want to ask you, speaking of TV shows, Now, we have this TV show called Lucifer. I think it's on the WB or UPN, wherever you are.
My wife loves that show.
Oh, my goodness. Do you think that is there to get people used to thinking Lucifer's a good guy, he's okay?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I've watched it. I kind of like the guy, too. I have girls that will tell me all the time, if Lucifer really looks like that, I hope I'm going to hell. You know, life, you have to laugh at life. You just really have to laugh at life, because the ugliness is just waiting to just slap the ooze on us and bring us down. You got to find things to just laugh about. So I find that series amusing. Like I said, my wife loves Lucifer. But I, you know,
that's a hell of a thing to say.
Yeah, I know. It is what it is. You know, what can I say? But, yeah, she really likes that show, and a matter of fact, she doesn't usually like things I like, but she caught that first episode of Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, and she, I think she's hooked too. So it's sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Yeah, well, I've read something recently that stated that the Illuminati, they were making a big push to try to make Satan more acceptable to people, and they were trying to paint him in a more favorable light. And they were making shows like that to turn more people towards the devil, as opposed to and away from God. So, you know, we know that they control the media. So I think that might be part of their agenda, trying to make Lucifer and Satan and all things satanic more acceptable to mainstream.
Absolutely, brothers.
Yes.
Okay, I do believe we have like 30 seconds here. Please, Reverend Sean, a link where we can find you, my listeners can find you.
My website is www.theWordGhost-B-as-in-boy-gone.biz, and you can find everything there. You can find where you can enroll in my course, Introduction to Spiritual Warfare, of that strikes your fancy. You can also purchase my book there, God, Ghosts, and the Paranormal Ministry. You can catch me Sunday nights on the spiritrealm.net at 5 p.m. Pacific on Reverend Sean's Paranormal Ministry. And you can catch me Monday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific on KCOR Radio, Vegas Supernatural.
Well, all right. You have been the most wonderful guest. Oh, what
and
a
you
treat.
Too, man. I love you both. You're both on my prayer list. God bless you both, and just you two stay blessed, okay?
You know what? I believe I'm going to see you in Ireland soon. So,
okay.
Yes. Guys, thank you for tuning in to the After Show Double Dosage After Show, and catch you tomorrow.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.